Hi, this is Raquel Aurelia, and you're listening to the weekly podcast on RedHotMama.com.
Welcome, baseball fans. You got the Red Hot Mama coming at you from Redsland on this Monday, November 27th of 2006. It's going to be a short podcast this week because I guess on the holiday weekend there just wasn't a lot going down in Redsland.
Go figure.
I guess Krivsky was off eating his weight in turkey and stuffing.
And catchers.
And catchers, yeah. We'll get to that. But first, let's start with what happened like a whole week ago, huh? Red's spring training schedule's out.
Woot!
Woo! I actually am quite excited about that because we do make the trip down to spring training. We have the last 2 years, and it's been a fantastic trip. Oh, yeah.
Our kid loves it.
Oh, yeah. You know, he's five. And really, just last year, he was starting to become old enough to go to baseball games, really. But now he talks about it all the time. I want to go to the baseball game. He likes to, eat the food and
of course
walk around and look at things and stuff. I don't think he really follows the game so much
yet.
Sticky
cotton candy, hot dogs. I mean,
which I give him stuff. I give him a bit of a pass because he's only five. But then again, you know, I sat next to Rich Aurelia's kids, and they were following the game.
Name dropping. Jeez.
I'm just saying.
No, they were impressive.
They were like three and five or four and two or something like that, and they knew what was going on in the game.
They knew more than me.
Well, I would hate to say that. Well, but, you know, then again, they do sleep with one of the ball players, so.
Scandalous.
Yeah. So there isn't a lot to say about that, except they've got some premier games, some premier series
that's
in the spring
lame.
Training.
It's against, usually that's like, they do that for like games against the Yankees or a big draw, mm-hmm. but it's like, they're crappy. Some of them are really crappy teams.
Oh, yeah. They're
it doesn't
really,
make any sense.
I think that, well, when it comes to the Yankees and the Red Sox, those games always sell out. Like you can't even get tickets to those games, even though they're spring training games. So I can see them raising the price on those because, one, it's just smart economics.
Right.
Two,
absolutely.
You know,
I don't
it
have
might
a problem
be nice
that.
If, you know, a few Reds fans could get in there just by virtue of having some cash. You know, if maybe it was a little bit, what it comes down to is those games are going to be sold out no matter what.
Right.
And
right.
Well, it seems to make sense where it would be more like, oh, well, they're playing the Pirates again. Maybe this game costs a little bit less because, I mean, they play the Pirates, like,
right,
every freaking day. I mean,
they're
10 minutes
next
away.
Door, yeah.
So it would make sense for those games to cost a little bit less. Just bumping up the prices on these ones that are more popular seems a little bit iffy.
But it's not even ones that are more popular, I mean. Whatever.
It's kind of dumb ones. And it's all kind of dumb since it's in spring training. I mean, during the season is one
thing,
but for spring training.
How much money are they making on spring training anyway?
Seriously, I mean, it's already like $8 to get in, you know, for the really fancy schmancy seats. Anyway,
I gotta get to booking a condo or some place to stay for us.
Oh, yeah.
That's coming up fast.
Last year we stayed right like a block away from the beach on Siesta Key. And man, that was fantastic.
Yes.
There is no reason to go to any other. The first year we went, we stayed in Bradenton. That's right, right?
Yeah.
And
it was
and we were right near Lido
Key. Neighborhood, yeah.
And it was a very crap. It was a nice beach. I'm not saying that there was anything wrong with it, but compared to Siesta Key, holy crap. There isn't a more beautiful beach in the world that I know of.
Well, there probably is, but
well, there's no more beautiful beach in
that
in
might be
driving
true.
Distance of spring training.
That might be true.
It's fantastic.
So hopefully we can get there again.
Yeah, I hope
That'd be pretty nice.
That'd be nice. I'm looking forward to that. Yeah, it'll be nice to see the sunshine again and get a sunburn, go to baseball games. Oh, I can hardly wait. It's not even Christmas yet. Anyway, so what else happened? There's been a lot. There's been some stuff going on around the rest of the league.
That's right. Spending like crazy
still. Yeah, the Astros signed Carlos Lee to that six-year, $100 million deal, which does sound like a lot of money, but it is over 6 years. It's one of those deals.
It's still more than $10 million a year,
and
it suddenly makes what Dunn's getting look kind of cheap.
Well, I don't know how it's distributed. He probably doesn't get the same amount every year.
No, I'm sure
probably
not.
Probably one
but
of
still.
Those deals where that's a good deal for the team at the beginning, not such a good deal for the team at the end.
By the time they'll have traded him to some other sucker.
Yeah, assuming that they, assuming he hasn't got some sort of no trade clause in there or something.
That's not, the Astros needed offense.
Yeah.
They have for forever.
Yeah.
Yet they kept signing Clemens to gave him like $5 million per start or something
but,
ridiculous.
You know, they've got a couple of,
but Right now, they actually need pitching more than offense.
Well, this was actually part of this deal, I think, was to get some of their pitching back, because Clemens to entice them into not retiring, you know, to entice them into coming back. No, really, we're going to give you an offense this year. No, really. But, you know, I think that they kind of shot their wad on all in one player, and I don't think that they were one offensive player away from...
Oh, gosh, no.
Then again, you know, what can you say? I mean, it's not like they didn't hang in there until the end, you know, they
was on the strength of their pitching, not their offense.
Yeah. So, but maybe what I'm saying is maybe just one Carlos Lee is enough.
Well, I doubt it, but we'll see.
Man, their offense, it was pretty scary.
It was.
I mean, it's really scary when you go into a game and you're going into a game and you're watching your the Reds play, and you're like, man, they've only scored 5 runs. There's no way they're going to hold this with the Reds pitching staff. And yes, they do.
You know, they must be playing the Astros.
Exactly. But there's more than that going on. The Brewers had that 6-player trade with Arizona. So they've got some stuff going on there. I didn't really know much about them, about the players in that
sense.
No,
I don't
have a lot to say, but except for...
I think it improves the Brewers for next year,
mm-hmm.
which is more than the Pirates have done.
The Pirates
for their team, because they haven't done anything.
Jack.
It's more than the Cardinals have done for their team.
The Cardinals have done. Well, actually, no. The Cardinals made a very crafty move in signing Randy Kiesler.
Is he the next Josh Hancock?
Kiesler and Hancock hanging out. They're going to be chilling. It's like Louisville reunited.
And then, the Cubs have spent a lot of money, but really, I don't see them being any better yet, even with Soriano.
Yeah, Soriano, like...
They had offensive issues, but really they needed pitching.
Yeah.
And they haven't signed any pitchers, unless he will complain about pitching, so then they'll force him there, I mean.
Well, you know, they're already putting him in a position to replay before. Why not?
Why not?
Give him a try, maybe he's good. He seems like he's a little bit indulged. A little bit childish. He kind of strikes me as being...
As a baseball player?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I think that he's going to fit in well with the Cubs. I think that there's a certain kind of neurosis that works out in that organization.
It helps them lose.
Exactly.
It really does.
Of course, I don't know what the case is going to be with their new manager up there, so maybe I'm wrong, but
yeah.
I don't know.
Really, the Central doesn't seem to have gotten better at all yet this year. In the offseason.
Well, how can you say that? The Reds have sent Jason LaRue to Kansas City. They're sending $3 million with him.
I can't believe that.
I heard the trade.
I'm like, okay, I still think you should have traded Ross
for something
in his fluke of a year last year in the middle of the season for something.
Oh, wouldn't
okay,
that have been
but
nice?
Fine. If you yes, we need to get rid of one of the three catchers. Having 3 catchers all last year really screwed the team.
Well, yeah.
Like, how many times was it? Well, they could have had a stronger bat off the bench,
mm-hmm.
and then that would have helped
well,
in
you
so
know,
many
Hobby's
games.
A good bat off the bench,
sure, but he could have been a backup catcher, and then they could have had an even better bat than him.
I'm sure. You know, and that's the thing. But the redeeming quality was always, well, they're dumping some salary.
Yeah.
Okay, they're getting rid of that third catcher.
Exactly.
For nothing, but they're dumping some salary. And then you go and find out that, you know, of his $5.45 million salary, they're sending $3 million with him.
Right.
They're dumping less than $2.5 million in salary.
Like,
it's not a salary dump.
No.
It is shooting yourself in the foot.
No.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
It's not exactly shooting yourself in the foot, because it's, you know, to the American League team that they're sending it.
I suppose that's true. And, I mean,
and
I guess
money,
it's not really going to hurt them. It's just, it's pointless is what it is. There's
not
a,
very good.
When I was in college, I was in a short story class. And for some reason, at the last day of class, we had like an open mic kind of reading thing, and one guy comes into the class and he has his guitar and he is going to sing us a song that he wrote, and he says most people talk about pissing in the wind. It's about stupidity, right? Because
okay.
you get it all splattered all over yourself. He says this song is about pissing in the rain. It's about futility. And maybe that's what this deal is. This is a pissing in the rain kind of deal. It doesn't really accomplish anything. It's just it's motion without progress.
There you go. That's kind of what we've come to expect from Krivsky.
Especially when when we don't even actually accomplish the goal of getting rid of one of the three catchers.
What do you mean?
When the next freaking day,
come on,
they freaking sign Moeller. Moeller.
What was that about?
A worse hitter than LaRue.
Yeah.
A worse hitter than LaRue. Guy who played, what did Bark say, 61 games in
his
Milwaukee?
Batting, yeah, last year with Milwaukee played, you know, not many games, but his batting average was like in the 180s. Krisky's
awesome.
Comment on it is, I know he's a better hitter than that.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
My response to that is,
he could be 50 points better than that and it's still not any good.
Hey, that's Adam Dunn territory.
Well, you know, if he's got the power of Adam Dunn, I'm going to shut up. But I'm kind of thinking he doesn't. I'm kind of thinking this is an incredibly inexplicable move, which is just kind of a trademark of Krivsky.
Yeah.
I'm coming to expect.
It's like, oh, okay. He's getting ready for a trade. And then nothing ever happens because he's just like, oh, I'll do that. I'll hit that.
Yeah, I don't know. That's the thing. It's like he does these mysterious moves where you're like, oh, he's building on something here. Something, the other shoe is going to fall. Oh, he's picked up a third catcher. Oh, he's picked up an eighth second baseman. Something's going to happen here, and then nothing does.
Nope.
So I think
he just ends up releasing them all. Or
my prediction: we carry three catchers into the beginning of next season, and one of them's Moeller.
Well, he was signed to a major league deal.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
See, that was my first thought was, oh, it's probably a minor league deal. Stupidly, obviously, so naive. And then I saw, nope, major league contract.
Major league deal.
Fantastic.
Guaranteed contract. Yeah. So I
exactly.
And thank God, because if there's one thing we needed, it was catching.
Well, you know,
if there's one
we
hole
went
on this
like
friggin' team,
a whole day, maybe more. Like, how many days was that where the team only had two catchers?
Well, that's not even true though, because Friel is the emergency backup catcher. Because
there's Hatteberg too.
And there's Hatteberg.
And there have been rumblings to sign Thor, Craig Wilson. He's got some catching experience.
Then,
you know,
what about Crosby? Am I hallucinating that, or did
I don't remember
have
him having
of,
catching?
Okay,
experience.
I'm probably hallucinating that. I'm probably thinking of Thor. But yeah. I mean, that's probably not going to happen because I can actually envision signing Thor.
Right. It would be
a
reasonable
Craig
move
Wilson.
In many aspects.
One that would seem to address some needs of the team.
Yeah, because he can play.
As opposed to making a redundant.
A weak right field, but he can still play it. And he can, yeah. But no, that probably won't happen.
Yeah, he
because
doesn't
it makes
seem,
too
well,
much sense.
He's not a little wiry guy who with plus defense. I mean, he's just he's a hitter. He's not a weak hitter, so therefore Krivsky does not like him.
Dude, Krivsky should go to the Pirates.
Well, maybe we can work on that.
You know what I think it is, why he signed Moeller. He has this issue with dealing with former Reds GMs. He got fleeced by Bowden.
Mm-hmm.
O'Brien's there working for Milwaukee.
That's right, and O'Brien was just appointed
special
assistant to the GM or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, O'Brien had a few good ideas.
Liked his drafts.
He was timid.
Yeah,
which you certainly can't accuse Krivsky of being.
No.
You can accuse him of being inexplicable.
I liked O'Brien's drafting ability. He was not so good at doing anything at the major league level. But
yeah.
Homer Bailey.
Yeah, it's hard to complain about that one.
So far. So good.
Yeah. Hopefully it sticks. So, yeah.
What else? Anything?
Not really. It's going to be, like I said, it's going to be a short podcast this week. But there are the This Year in Baseball Awards. And at least, I mean, there's Friel's catch, which I think is obviously phenomenal. And
mm-hmm.
I don't know if you can see what the results are. But man, how can you not even vote for that? Because people know what you're talking about. And if you're talking to a baseball fan and you're like, oh yeah, Ryan Friel's catch is up. They're like, oh, yeah, I saw that. That was really something, man. I mean, that was an unholy catch. Jerry Nairn's up for the manager.
Nice.
Which, yeah, I don't even know what to say about that. I think it's amazing, though, because you'd watch the Reds games that were on ESPN or that were on, like, the National.
Right, whenever they talk about him.
I expect, George and Chris to be Reds homers, and they're really not too much. I mean, I think they're...
Chris is more than George. George is a Cardinals homer.
Yeah. He pretty much loves his Edmonds. But in any event...
Oh, he'll be happy.
My point is that...
he's back for two more years.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That is the one thing the Cardinals have done.
They've re-signed Edmonds.
Re-signed Edmonds. And
they've only got one returning starting pitcher, but now they've got Edmonds locked up. And,
hey, Randy Keisler's going to take care of that.
There you go.
What was I getting at? Oh, but sorry, when you'd the national games, when you'd watch like the ESPN broadcasters, they'd be all like, oh yeah, Naren has turned this team around. He has done so much. I think given like his record this season was only like, what, 6 games better than the season before? I mean, it wasn't even that many games. And given that we had a completely different ownership and we had a new GM and the changes he'd made to the team, I think that it's not a net gain. And, of course, you know, as people who watch the team every day, we knew about his difficulties managing the bullpen and problems with the lineup and, you know, all sorts of stuff. Yeah. See, in-game decisions that were...
I don't know that a different manager would have led the team to any more wins or even the playoffs. However, there were a lot of strategic mistakes that Naren made repeatedly, with the bullpen in particular, but a lot of lineup construction, all these things on the field, where it didn't necessarily make them lose the game, but it certainly didn't put them in the best position to win.
Oh, and it caused us all manner of consternation out in the fandom. You know, we're just...
The bullpen is the best example, really. Like, at the beginning of the year, it was always Rick White.
Oh, sure.
By the end of the year, it was always Ryan Franklin. You know, it kept going throughout the whole...
Yeah, that's
despite
true.
Despite the fact that he had these pitchers who were doing really well in the bullpen at some time. I mean, obviously, the bullpen sucked a lot of the time. But I think a part of that was largely due to him continually trotting out these people who couldn't get people out.
Well, you know, that's true. But like you touched on it there, though. There wasn't always a lot to work with in the bullpen.
Sure.
Sometimes, like you said, there's some streaky people. But you look at the lineup construction, he was always running out people. He was always running out McCracken, and he was always running out Womack. You know, like these guys that came through that everyone's like, what are they even doing?
They don't have anything to contribute.
And he's starting, on a major league team, and he's running them out to start the game.
Yep.
And it was like over and over again, and he would pinch hit with like just the stupidest people. I mean, like, Milton would be a better choice for pinch hitting here. Why are you sending out whoever crazy person he would send out to pinch hit?
Yeah.
And he'd pinch hit with Womack. I'm sure he's pinch hit with Womack.
No,
I don't know.
But the only use Womack had should have been like pinch runner.
Yeah.
Which is a waste of a roster spot for a pinch runner.
Yeah, that's true.
But anyway, yeah.
But, so I don't think
he'll be getting a vote from you, then. Is that safe to say? How about the other guy, Bronson?
Bronson Arroyo, I guess maybe the Reds are only allowed to have one nominee because Harang, there's no mention of Aaron Harang as a nominee for the This Year in Baseball Award. You know, the thing about it is I can sort of see it because Arroyo was a splash.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
it was a great
knew
trade,
him.
Really.
People, I mean, everyone all over the country, you know, followed his progress. He came from a big team. I can sort of see that. But, you know, when you like, read his profile, they don't talk about any of that. It's never like, man, he was a star, you know, the fans loved him, or it's always like, oh, he had these great stats. And I just can't see his stats being any better than Harang's were. I mean, Harang was freaking dominant. I mean, he had the strikeouts. He had the affect of when he went out on the mound, you're like, hey, we got a chance to win this one. Right. Bronson was like that, yeah, sure, for like, you know, the first month and a half.
Then after that,
it was like, well, you know.
It took him, like what? Like, he got the 9 wins real fast, then that was it.
Yeah.
Till, like, the last month of the year.
And then you're like, which Bronson are we going to get tonight? Are we going to get the one who was out partying with his Boston friends at the All-Star game? Or are we going to get, the one who seems to know what he's doing on the pitching mound? So, I don't know. But in any event, I voted for Friel about 50 times.
There you go.
And that's, you know, and then I got tired of clicking and... And I'm sure there are people out there who voted thousands of times. So, but still, I hope they were voting for Friel, because like I said, that was a great play. And that's about all we got going on in Redsland, isn't it? What do you got going on?
There isn't much. The only little bit I have is a little piece I saw on a blog about Derek Jeter. He's been dating actress Jessica Biel.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently over the Thanksgiving holiday, they took in some art at an exhibit out in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why or how, but apparently the exhibit Hallowed Ground, Icons from Sinai, got them all riled up and randy.
Oh, my.
Yeah. Things got so hot.
Icons.
Yes. Mmm, Jewish artifacts.
Yeah.
Things got so hot and heavy that security guards had to break them up.
Ah, so it's like high school.
Yeah.
Well, that's one way.
Big overgrown children, you know.
Keep it fresh,
baseball
I
players.
And actresses, yeah. Man, that's the life, huh?
Oh, yes.
But so before the next time we get on the podcast, we will have gone to Reds Fest.
Reds Fest.
And I'm really looking forward to that. I think it's going to be a great time. We're taking the Eye River, so
hopefully
can...
we'll be able to do some little updates.
I've got some really smart aleck questions to ask Bronson Arroyo and, you know, some other slightly snarky things to ask everyone else. And hopefully I'll get some microphone time, but I might be fooling myself. Maybe I'll just be there collecting bumper stickers to send off to people who win contests.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of stuff,
mm-hmm.
Buy the book.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And the Red Hot Mama's Super Fun Activity Book for kids is available now on lulu.com.
Red-hot-mama.com/book.
And I'll take my copy. I did get my copy in the mail. Man, it looks fantastic. It looks even better than I imagined. It looks just great. And so we'll bring our copy with us to Red's Fest, and we'll it won't be for sale because it's our copy, but maybe we could take names down if people wanted me to order copies for them. I could autograph them.
There you go. That'd be cool.
Because you know, if there's something special to be had, it's my autograph.
That's right.
I signed it with XOXO. Makes you feel really special. So, but yeah, check that out on red-hot-mama.com/book. And next time you hear from us, we'll be recording things at Reds Fest, and we look forward to seeing you there. Till then, hang in there and
go Reds!
The Red Hot Mama podcast is produced weekly in the heartland of America. We'd love to hear anything you have to say. Send an email, post a comment on the website, or leave a voicemail. The email address is rhm@red-hot-mama.com. The webpage is red-hot-mama.com. And our voicemail line is 513-729-7106.